Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Saturday Triple M NRL from Shark Park, not far away. Kickoff 3 o'clock, of course, the Sharks and the Titans. Peter Sterling will join us very shortly to again talk about his highlights from the weekend so far and preview what is ahead, including this afternoon's game. Right now, though, let's play a little bit of NRL Shark Tank, the three of you. I'm going to ask you a question. Maybe you can pitch this back at the rest of the team. Which team would you pick to coach? You've got the gig as a coach. You can choose which team it will be. Convince us you've chosen the right one. Who would like to start me off in the NRL Shark Tank? Ryan Girdler?
I wouldn't
like to start me off.
Were you asking or were you telling me to?
I'll start. I'll start. For me, the Broncos. Mm-hmm. They've got a good roster, but it's a young roster. So there's players there. They're not on massive money yet, you know, the big superstar dollars, but I think the next couple of years there's potential for them to win a grand final, or certainly to play in one. And also, they've got some of the best juniors coming through, not just in the state, but in the league. There's a young kid called Patrick Carrigan who hasn't had a start yet. He's been the Queensland Finneys and stuff. He's a good player. But we've seen last night what they can do with some of their young forwards, obviously. Tavita Pangai, what he did last night. Some of their young backs, Asako, you know, I think third year in. They've got a... They haven't got too many older players, but a wealth of youth coming through. And I think the balance is right there.
With W. Saylor coaching that team, do they get the premiership this year?
Yeah, I think they'll be in the grand final. I think my tip was the Roosters and the Broncos in the grand final. I think it's just about consistency for them. You know, when you're a young bloke playing in the NRL, it's doing it week in, week out. That's why the first week... They're off the pace a little bit, I suppose, against Melbourne Storm, but you learn those sort of things. And obviously the experience too. You've got a sprinkle of guys like Matt Gillett there, Andrew McKellar, I think is perfect format for some of those young players there.
All right. Emma Lawrence.
I would love to coach the Melbourne Storm. We spoke about it before, about how great their system is, but no matter, everyone said as soon as Cooper was gone, oh, they can't win a premiership. Billy gone, can't win a premiership. And just all across the park, whether it's in the outside backs, like how exciting are the likes of Josh Adokar? Then you've got Cameron Munster, who's exciting. And then all of their forwards, the Bromwich brothers, Nelson, they're massive. So I think you cannot go wrong with that roster and with that system, because they constantly just produce players. And then players go there who maybe were sort of washed up and then they turn them into something. So, yeah. I mean, I know Craig Bellamy has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, big shoes to fill.
But,
he could be your assistant.
Yeah, but right.
You could ask him to stay on for a while.
I would like to. Yeah, well, he can stay and he can mentor me for a little while.
Yeah,
and then I can take over and I can reap the rewards
beautiful.
Of what he's done.
I like it. All right, Ryan.
For me, it would be the Broncos, because if you play for the Broncos or you coach the Broncos, you just get free stuff. Like all those guys up there just get stuff. It's unreal. And they've got a decent roster. Now, for me, it'd be, you know, from a roster perspective, the Broncos, I think, for the next couple of years. But if I was able to coach anyone, it'd be the Panthers. Yeah. I love the club. I think they've also got a really good roster. They've got some great facilities, and they've got a fantastic junior base out there. And maybe, you know, within the next couple of years, who knows? You know, Ivan might get sick of it, or Gus might get sick of Ivan again, and there might be an opportunity.
And you'll be back there.
Yeah.
Next up, a man who went from those Broncos that Del was talking about to the Cowboys. Didn't work for him last night, though. We will chat with Josh Maguire next on Saturday Triple M NRL. Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler, Emma Lawrence, Tony Squires with you from Shark Park. We're in the Canterbury Cup. The Mounties 26 lead the Jets 16, 8.5 minutes to go. As I look at the Tyre Power scoreboard, last night it was, of course, the Broncos who didn't quite get the job done over the... over the Cowboys 29-10. One man, of course, was with the Broncos last year, playing with the Cowboys. Key signing from Josh Maguire joins us right now. G'day, mate.
Hey, guys.
How was it? Didn't take you long to face up against the old team. Obviously, the result wasn't what you wanted.
No, obviously, it wasn't the result I was looking for, but that's footy, and that was probably a good thing to get it out of the way early now, and they get those nervous bugs out of the way and just get ready for a big season now. Obviously, it wasn't the result we wanted, but that's footy.
Hey, Musa, look, you know, I've always been a fan of the way that you play, but you know what? You dish it out, you're happy to cop it. And Tavita Pangai, you know, he just knew. He tried to take it to you a few times, and when he hit you, you just got on with it.
Yeah, oh, mate, that's footy, you know. Sky's the limit for Tevita. He's going to be a special player and obviously been probably hampered by a lot of injuries over the last couple of years and it's been hard to get on the paddock. But, you know, I know how good of a player he is and how good of a player he's going to be. He's still a young fella and just got to keep stringing those games together and be consistently good. But, you know, he's a special player and the whole club's got some really good young talent coming through. So they're in good hands, mate, and, you know, the future's bright for that club.
When you moved on, you had another year to go, I think, at the Broncos. But for you, was that about your future and just sort of, you know, going to the Cowboys with that extension?
Yeah, well, I had 3 years still to run on my contract.
Oh, wow.
I asked for a release. It was just purely the opportunity up there and the extension of the extra year and the opportunity. And I just felt like it was time for me to, you know, move on and start something fresh and kind of refresh myself and my own career. And I knew the club was in good hands and, you know, we parted on good terms. It was all good. And, you know, I still got a lot of friends there and, you know, family members that live down in Brizzy. So it's a special place in my heart and I always, you know, love the club and, you know, be forever thankful for the opportunity that they gave me and my family.
Josh, what is it like playing under Greeny? He's obviously a premiership winning coach, but sometimes after whether it's a win or a loss, you can't really tell in the press conference whether he's too angry or not. What was he like last night and generally how's he been as well?
Yeah, obviously they're disappointed. We, you know, we thought we played really well, round one against the Dragons, and we didn't get the opportunity to probably, you know, show that last night. No excuses, but we had a lot of injuries, which just didn't help our cause, and we had guys out of position. So we felt a bit clunky. Broncos came out firing, but Greeny's really calm kind of character. He kept it pretty cool and relaxed. Obviously, very disappointed in the game, but that's a good thing about NRL. We get to play next week and put in a good game against the Sharkies at home. And, you know, that's all we can really do now. We just, you know, kind of lick our wounds and get ready for training on Monday.
Michael Morgan's been made captain this year. How's he been to play underneath and what sort of leader is he?
Yeah, he's a good guy, Morgan. He's, you know, leads by actions, but he's pretty calm character. He's obviously, you know, a fantastic player and somebody who I highly respect and a guy at the club that just kind of goes about his business and gets things done and everyone looks to in those clutch moments. And it's just good to have Morgan back on the field. You know, he's been out for, I think it's 9 months, he hasn't played footy, so that's his second game in 9 months. So, you know, these things will come. I thought he was fantastic last week in round one. I think we're all a bit clunky this week, but, you know, he's a good leader. I'm very excited about playing under him for the next 4 years.
Josh Maguire, Jason Tamalolo, last week against the Dragons, ran about 8.4 kilometres. he was absolutely awesome. But he picked up an injury last night. Have you heard today what's going on?
Yeah, he's hurt his knee, mate. I don't know the extent of it. I think he hurt it in the first run. I think someone got caught under him and then Tevita tackled him and he kind of twisted his knee. So I don't think it's nothing long-term, I don't think. I think the staff will assess it. But, yeah, obviously it wasn't ideal for us. He's a big part of our team and really sets our sets off really, really well. And I think Nene had a HIA, which didn't help either, so... we had some wounded soldiers out there Friday night, but that's part of footy.
Mate, Josh, there's two young players that you'd know a bit about. Mate, Thomas Flegler, mate, what a motor that young bloke's got, because you would have worked with him. But also, young Mitch Dunn from Mackay, I think. I thought he was terrific when he came on too, mate.
Yeah, Dunny's a special player, mate. He's one of those guys that's kind of just a football player. He doesn't really have a position at the moment, but he's going to be, you know, a special football player. He's just kind of those guys you've got to have in your 17. He could play anywhere, hooker, back row, and then the half. So he did his job when he came on, mate. He had an opportunity there to play some more time and more minutes because of the injuries. So that was good. But, you know, Ed Fleggy, he's a kid of the future as well, mate. Oh. He's finally got his opportunity to play first grade and, you know, he's a big thing. He's fast. He's got some good feet. So, you know, the club's just got a production line of good young ruck forwards down there at Broncos. So the hardest thing for them will just be just being consistent every week. But if they just keep doing that every week, I'm sure everything will be fine.
Josh, obviously, in terms of research, I love Wikipedia. I'm not sure if it's 100% accurate. And look, if you've answered this question 1,000 times before, I apologise. It says there that you played junior ice hockey. Can that be true?
Yeah, I played ice hockey, inline hockey before I played rugby league, yeah. So
Did you do it just for the fights and stuff? I'm just going to throw it out there. You like a bit of niggle and stuff, so I was going to throw that out there.
Oh, mate, that was definitely a fun part of it, but I actually really enjoyed it, mate. But it was a pretty expensive game, obviously, and the opportunity. I signed with the Roosters first when I was 14. I had to choose between hockey and rugby league, and rugby league boots are a lot cheaper than ice hockey skates and sticks and stuff, so we went down that avenue.
Mate, in your spare time, what do you do up there? I've got my family up there at Townsville and obviously the Burdekin there. What do? Do you go
ice
fishing?
Ice skate, obviously.
No, do you go fishing? There's a lot of crocs up there, you know. What do you do up there, mate?
Yeah, plenty of fishing, mate. I'm really getting to be fishing. I just got a boat and get out and do a bit of pigging with Geordie McLean and a few of the boys as well. So that's a bit of fun, a bit of hunting. So to be honest, mate, I'm not the best at either, but I'm very enthusiastic and I'm always willing to learn. So I get out and mix it with the boys. I just kind of panic and just, you know, go hard. But it's all good fun and it's just good to be in the outdoors with the kids and stuff as well.
You'd be making some pigs nervous, I'd imagine.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely. You're making me nervous. Josh McGuire, thank you so much. Congratulations on your career so far. Lovely to talk to you. I'm sure we'll catch up again very soon.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a good weekend.
Will do, buddy. Josh, well, you would be a bit nervous, wouldn't you, if you see him carting a rifle or that squint he gets?
Probably, he'd do it with a knife or maybe bare knuckled, you know.
And he's got one eye, eh?
What?
He's got one eye, Josh.
Only the one eye?
Yeah, well, yeah, so the other one, he's blind in one eye.
Okay, we'll give him a rifle.
But he's got two eyes, but yeah. only one works.
Yeah. Oh, okay, sorry.
Exactly.
Sorry,
Peter Sterling is going to join us very shortly. Maroon will also stride in. It's all ahead Saturday. Triple M, NRL.
Saturday, Triple M NRL, right across the Triple M network. We are live at beautiful Shark Park. I don't know exactly what we're calling it at the moment. I just got called in off the interchange bench now to replace Tony. So it's Maroon here with Wendell, with Em, with Sterlo. And it's time for this.
Reedy.
You've got mail.
It's time.
You have mail.
For Reedy's mail.
Well done, Reedy.
And it's time for one of our more popular segments at Triple M, Reedy's Mail. Reedy, are you there?
I'm here, guys. I'm here.
Okay. Mate, what's this mail you've got about James Graham?
Yeah, look, obviously a lot of focus on the Dragons early on in the competition. We actually caught up with James Graham earlier this week and asked him about his future. He's actually got an option in his contract for next year. It's James's option. And basically asked him about what his plans were, what he was thinking. The Dragons are happy to play ball with him, and James basically said he'd be guided by how he's playing. But I got the sense from James Graham he's going to go around again. And look, the Dragons are quite content to let James make that decision. He may not be the force he is on the field in these days, but in terms of what he offers off the field, it can't be measured. Well, you know, you basically can't pay for what James Graham gives that football side off the field. So, you know, there's been a bit of criticism of his form over the opening couple of weeks of the year, like a lot of the Dragons players. But I'll get the sense that James will go around again and the Dragons will be happy to have him go around again just purely because of his leadership more than anything.
Yeah, really, I actually said this. When the Dragons actually signed him from the Bulldogs, they were talking about offering a three-year deal. I thought 2 years would be sufficient just because he's been playing first grade since, what, 17, 18? To play in that position, to play the way that he does with the passion he does, at some stage, you know, it's going to catch up with you.
Yeah, you can see when... You go, Reedy?
No, you go, Em.
You can see when he comes back on that just how much his presence alone really lifts the side. And you see so many players. I mean, they're obviously all barking orders out there, but I don't think I can see anyone from that sideline view yelling more at his teammates than James Graham. And young Blake Laurie spoke during the week ahead of him obviously starting in place of Frizzell. And he basically said during the off-season, James Graham called him and said, let's go and have a coffee, mate. James Graham initiated it and said, mate, what are your goals? What do you want to do this year? This is what you need to do. And James Graham initiated that. So that's just one example of his incredible leadership.
Yeah, I'm glad you're supportive, Em, because I saw him here earlier. I'm going to go down and tell him now that both Wendell Saylor and Brent Rudrick, he hasn't got it anymore. Should give it away. I've got him on speed dial.
That's right.
Hello, Reedy.
How are you? I don't think there's any doubt he's lost a step in the last probably
12 months. But as I said, you know, you talk to the Dragons, they'll tell you that he's the guy who gets in the face of the opposition. He's the guy who targets basically the most dangerous or aggressive forward in the opposition. And that's such a valuable commodity for your forward pack when you've got a bloke like that who inspires with his actions.
Yeah, good backpedalling. Well done, Rick.
Yeah. What's that reverse sound?
Oh, this is a stitch-up.
Yeah. I'm with you, mate. Don't worry. I'm feeling you.
Thanks, Del. Thanks. You're a good man.
Reedy, what about Dylan Brown? What's the latest there?
Well, obviously, we had a chat on first night about Dylan Brown, and you were off him completely rude, weren't you, over his comments that basically suggested he's going to go fishing and have a smell around. Look, as I said the other night, the Dragons are desperate to get him signed and extended, and he's obviously got another year on that contract, but it's on a very minimum wage because they have to upgrade him to get him in the top 30. Look, the Warriors offered him a deal, I think it was 5 years around the $3 million mark. I spoke to a couple of recruitment guys in the wake of what Dylan Brown said on Thursday, and I said, what do you think this kid would be worth if he goes the whole year and plays first grade, and if he does that, he'll probably win Rookie of the Year. And they said $3 million will be nothing compared to what he'll get if he's still off contract. Mm. Come November 1, he spends the entire year in first grade, which it looks like he will. So, you know, Parramatta are desperate to get him done, and no one can blame them. But if he bides his time, and you take a risk if you do that, don't you? Because you take the risk of injury or your form drops off. But if he bides his time, there's a hell of a lot of money out there for that kid.
Well, he doesn't want to do a Blake Austin, though.
No, exactly. Well, we all
Whereas he negotiated for less.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a different set of circumstances, I think, in this case. I mean, you know, there's only upside with, I guess, Dylan Brown because he's only played one game, whilst Blake had played a long time and his form sort of dropped a fair bit last year. So, still, I know you'd be desperate for Parramatta to get him done and dusted, wouldn't you?
Well, the last thing in the world we should be talking about now is money. You know, he'd had a really good debut last week. The club have looked after him. Now, I'd like to think that those conversations will come a little bit further down the track. You know, Blake Austin, he was an established first grader when he decided to take his chance. And, mate, I understand the nature of the beast and the business and all that kind of thing, but, I was a little bit disappointed to read. But having said that, you know, if you're asked a question, you answer it, and that's obviously what Dylan did.
Yeah.
I didn't like the fishing component that I suppose was mentioned in there. But
he likes fishing.
I'd also, don't we all? I'd also like to think that, you know, when the time comes to be making decisions, that he will consider where he got a start and who's been looking after him the last couple of years. And that's, you know, I do have a vested interest, obviously.
Mm. Well, he strikes me as a pretty loyal sort of guy. The impression I get from him, the little I've had to deal with him, he seems like a guy who's very grounded, very family orientated, and he strikes me as a guy who's really loyal. So, you know, that's a massive tick in Parramatta's favour.
Okay, so obviously it's election day today. We've all been to the local school to vote, and you should have seen the queue at La Perouse Public. Fair dinkum, it nearly went back to the snake pit.
That was 10 of your best years of your life, weren't they, La Perouse Public? I've voted. I couldn't find Jacinda Ardern. I'm voting for anyone. How impressive is she?
Yeah, she's fantastic. But this election, obviously, the main topic has been this stadium rebuild. Yeah. And where is this all at right now, Reedy?
Well, this is a massive day for rugby league in Sydney and for the NRL because the guy just hopped on my scooter with my young fellow and cruised down to the local school and got the vote in. And while I was there, I was thinking, you know, this has got massive ramifications for rugby league in the city because if the government changes hand, it's all off the table. Not just the stadiums, but the grand finals, because the NRL's made a commitment to play the next 25 grand finals in Sydney as part of a deal against ANZ and Allianz Stadium redone. Now, the opposition's basically said they're going to blow that plan up. And if that happens, I would suggest, basically, I've spoken to people around the NRL this week, and the suggestion is they want to know within a week or you know, within a fortnight, what the plan is. And if the plan is not to do what the government said they were going to do, the current government said they were going to do, they're going to go to market with the grand finals. Now, they cost themselves a lot of money by locking them in for 25 years. I mean, I'm hearing figures around, you take the grand final to Melbourne, you're talking upwards of $10 million. Brisbane, probably maybe not that much because the stadium's not that big. One of the options that was explained to me was if it goes on the road, then maybe it's a four-year cycle where it goes Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, Auckland. And they use it in Auckland to help the Warriors get a new stadium as well. Mm. And that's what could potentially happen if the stadium deal gets blown up. We could see the grand final become a showpiece that gets taken around on a yearly basis to cities where rugby league survives and thrives, and it's used to grow the game. And poor old Sydney doesn't get the stadiums it desperately needs, and the grand final goes.
Well, here's a bit of trivia for you, Reedy. I went to school with Michael Daly. He's a fantastic bloke. I could have had a word to him for you.
He's a big South fan, isn't he? Massive.
He's massive. He's at all South games, and he's a real good fella. So that's not to say what my political persuasion is, but I did go to school with the bloke.
Who did you vote for?
I'm not going to say, Del.
Why?
Well, I don't think it's like saying to you, how much do you get paid a year? You know, you just don't ask that question.
I do it for the love of it, mate.
Knowing how loyal you are, Maroon, you probably voted for Gladys, right?
For who, mate?
For Gladys.
Oh, look, I don't want to say, mate. I didn't go to school with Gladys.
Knowing your level of loyalty to the bloke you went to school with, you'd have deserted him on election day, wouldn't you?
I'm thinking donkey vote myself, yeah. Anyway.
It's not that easy. You go in there, that's like a bloody tablecloth they give you and they want you to put one tick on it. And then they're talking about, you know, the recycling and the environment.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
True.
Anyway, Reedy, we'll...
We
might know more about the election toward the end of the game this afternoon. Good to catch up with you, mate.
Yeah, great stuff. I'll see you tomorrow, Sterling.
I look forward to it. James Graham's coming in.
Oh, great. We'll talk about his future.
Saturday Triple M NRL, live across the Triple M network. Shark Park is the venue for today's match of the day at 3 o'clock. The Sharks will take on the Gold Coast Titans. Peter Sterling and Wendell Saylor and Emma Lawrence and myself will be the call team for that game today. A couple of good games yesterday. We might take a break, come back and talk more NRL, specifically those games in the game this afternoon as Triple M rocks
the footy.
And welcome back to Shark Park in the beautiful Sutherland Shire in Sydney. It's a beautiful day for rugby league. Lots of blue sky. People are turning up in droves. It's a great place for rugby league. One of the traditional Sydney home grounds, and the Gold Coast Titans are visiting today to play the Sharks. Both sides are 1-17. So that teams you saw Tuesday, Wednesday in the paper, that's how they will take the field. Those names, those numbers today, and that's all thanks to our mates at Mongrel Boots. They're Aussie-born and bred. And speaking of the teams, I was just driving up Grand Parade there near the Novotel, and I was listening to all you guys talking about the game this afternoon, and I noticed you said to Garth Brennan, why do the Gold Coast have such a good record here? Do they like the weather?
Yeah.
And I would have thought that, being on the Gold Coast.
That's right, but it's beautiful on Sunday. It's about 28 degrees.
Oh, I see. That's what you meant.
That's what I was alluding to today, mate, yeah.
I was thinking, I thought you meant they like the weather because it's better in Sydney than it is on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, no. Because it was such a hot day, because we've been here since about 11 o'clock and obviously there's been a lot of dancing. It's been very warm, especially in this commentary box. And that's why I alluded to saying, because the first thing he said, he goes, how hot is it here? Yeah.
Is he my brother-in-law?
Who's that?
Garth Brennan.
Why?
Because my wife's brother... is married to Garth's sister.
Oh, your wife's...
Brother.
Brother. Is married,
yeah.
Married to Garth's sister.
Yes.
Are we brothers-in-law? No. I don't really know.
I don't know how that works, but surely,
is it,
Pete,
Emma?
You should know that, Pete.
I don't think so, is it?
Well,
no.
I see him every Christmas. We have a beer and walk our boots out together, but I don't know if that means we're related.
But your other brother-in-law is an ex-player, isn't he?
Yeah, Johnny Muggleton.
John Muggleton, yeah.
Yeah, Muggo, Well, I don't know how that got involved, but Margot's married my sister. Yeah, and he's coach. He's a defensive coach for the
Rara
Toyota, the Blitz in the over in Japan. Yeah.
Oh, okay. He's based over there.
Yeah. Goes back at the end of this week, actually. But yeah, so I think I'm related to Gar.
So give us the thing again. Your
my wife is named Selena.
Yep.
And her brother Jason.
Yep.
Is married to Garth's sister.
I don't think that much. I think that you're not related.
I feel like that's too much for 2:40 on a Saturday.
That's why I asked the question. I framed it as a question. I was looking for an answer, and I've got one.
Well, I think the answer is no.
Yeah.
Okay. Boys, let's have a look at the game so far in round two. It started off on Thursday night with the Rabbitohs giving it to the Dragons. And Sterlo, they took it up a notch, the Rabbitohs, in the second half, as they did against the Roosters. Probably more concerned, though, if you're a Dragons supporter. They're now 0-2, and they've got a couple of big games coming up.
Yeah, the last two games, or the opening two games for the Dragons, for the first 30 minutes, I thought they'd been the better side and looked destined to go on and win both of those games. Didn't get the job done on either occasion, so that's obviously a concern. No Frizzell, and obviously no Jack DeBellin. DeBellin has an impact on how they play, especially he takes pressure off the halves because he's got good footwork at the line and he's got that little offload and straightens their attack. So, there's so much conversation, obviously, about the configuration of the 1, 6, 7 and 9. I said before a ball was kicked this year that I didn't think Gareth Widdop would finish the season at fullback. I don't know outside around that, but I base that on the fact that the longer this season goes, it becomes more obvious how important the short attacking kicking game is. And along with Adam Reynolds, I think Gareth Widdop has the best kicking game, attacking short kicking game in the competition. Mm. Now, I don't know if he can impose that on the game at number one. Like, he can come at, can play first or second receiver at times, but I just don't think he gets in the position to do it the way that he did. And the longer the season goes, the more important that aspect of the game becomes.
So then would you have Dufty at fullback and Norman on the bench, or Norman at fullback?
Don't know what I'd do, Em. I just
But you must have a thought.
No, I haven't really thought. I just, my thought before, as I say, before the season kicked off, that Gareth Widdop would be back at 5'8". And then it's up to Paul McGregor as the coach of the side as to what he puts around that.
Well, let me ask you. They've got the Broncos this week. You know, we've seen how the Broncos are going to play. Would you stick with that same team this week?
I don't think we'll see any change for quite a while, Dale. Okay. If Widdop goes back into 5'8", it may well be the second half of the season. I don't know, but I just don't think he will finish the season in the number one jersey.
What about the young winger, Fijian winger, Ravaloa? Would you bring someone else in there? Because he's inexperienced, and you know an Anthony Seibold coach side is going to pick them to pieces down that left, or would you stick with him?
Yeah, no, I'd stay with him. I think the wingers have been really good, actually. I think, especially, as I say, in that first half hour of each of the games, I think the back three have been, well, certainly the wingers have been really, really good at bringing the ball back. And, you know, that's when we get on to talk about this game. Good, I think it's a consideration for the Cronulla as to what they're getting out of their back five. I think Cronulla won a premiership based on what the back five did. Mm. No Valentine Holmes. And I think Ricky Latelli always underrated in that department as well. So, you know, Cronulla may be struggling a little bit there. But, yeah, look, Adele, week two.
Yeah.
We start making decisions in another month, 6 weeks, and because then we have a better idea.
But still, like, the Dragons can be 0-4. They've got a tough road. They've got the Bulldogs, I think, round 5. Broncos next week, Newcastle. And I know they've lost a bit of experience.
Didn't the Bunnies lose... is it six?
Yeah,
they won
six.
They lost a massive chunk, and then...
They went under the same pressure as, I think, Paul McGregor this year.
No, that's true. Well, even the Roosters... Everyone was writing them off saying, oh, Kronk and Tedesco don't fit into their style of play, and then they win the comp. So everyone's outraged very quickly when after two rounds something's not working.
Okay, we move into those games that happen tomorrow, Arvo, and tomorrow evening. Melbourne beat the Raiders again. So the Raiders are now 1-2. Sterlo, I'll start with you again. What about Ricky Stewart? He's got to have been back there now, I'd say, 5 seasons. And they've made the finals once in those 5 years. He's had a little bit of a rough run with injury here and there. Do you think he's under a little bit of pressure to perform this year?
Oh, they're all under pressure. You know, that's, if you make the top eight, you're under all sorts of pressure. But, Ricky, again, it's week two. And I thought their second half performance was pretty strong last night. The game was gone at halftime with the way that Melbourne were able to put themselves into that dominant position. Melbourne are better at identifying the centre getting caught at marker than any other team, and then they go straight back to where that centre should be defending and they take advantage of it. But there was a huge play in the second half. Jerome Hughes came up with 2 try-saving tackles.
Unbelievable.
Right on his try line. That was, the score at that stage would have been 16-4. They had momentum, Canberra, and they were sort of coming at Melbourne. If they score there, it's 16-10. What happened was Jerome Hughes came up with 2 try-savers. A little bit later, kick went over the top, ball went back, Felice Kafusi races 60 metres, and then on 2 plays later, Cameron Smith puts over Asofa Solomona, and it's 22-4 instead of possibly 16-10. So, to me, that was the huge play in the game, but Melbourne set up the victory in the first 40 minutes. I thought Canberra stuck to the task pretty well in the second 40.
All right, and last night, the Broncos... A wonderful performance against the Cowboys. I didn't think the Broncos had that in them so early in the year after seeing them last week.
Yeah, look, I think we all know that they've got some talent there, that they can be quite aggressive, but I reckon what set the standard was Tevita Pangai. I mean, that was how you need someone to play, to take it to him, because everyone talks about Taumalolo, and he was a man on a mission out there, but also the other forwards just went with him. Matt Gillett ripped in, but also what I've liked from their outside five, that was a throwback to the old Broncos days where if Kevin Walters is throwing it to Steve Randolph and then you got Willie Carn on the end of it, they were throwing it on first tackle from inside, you know, their 20. That was some of the Broncos' best football I've ever seen in the last couple of years.
I can't recall a more aggressive 40 minutes from a football team than what we saw from Brisbane that first 40. And obviously, Pangai Jr. was the standout. But just the way that they attacked without the football. When you do that, that's a really good sign. You have a look at the pressure they put on the kicking game with Michael Morgan. I reckon the first four or five kicks he put up, he was under immense pressure. I think the sixth time the ball came to him, he dropped it cold, which was an indication of just how much pressure. First 40 minutes, and like Fegler comes on. They've still got Payne Haas in the shadows, which isn't easy when you're his size to stay in the shadows. Mm. Like, they've just got this production.
And there's another young kid too, Patrick Carrigan. Wait till he comes in, another Queensland 20s player. He's a ripper too.
I thought it was often Hengawi's best game I've seen him play for the Broncos as well.
He's stepped up, hasn't he?
South 34, Dragons 10. Storm 22, I beg your pardon, South 34, Dragons 18. Storm 22, Raiders 10. Broncos 29, Cowboys 10. Those scores are all thanks to Tyre Power. Receive tread mats when you purchase a set of selected Cooper tyres only at Tyre Power. That's where we all go from the Triple M NRL call team. This afternoon's game, 3 o'clock kickoff, will be the Gold Coast Titans visiting Shark Park to take on Cronulla. Of course, they are both last round losers. And the Gold Coast Titans didn't even get a point away last week.
They didn't, and we had Garth Brennan on before. He wasn't very happy at all, and he said his forwards, he ripped into them a little bit, and basically they weren't happy because they've got almost an all-rep pack, really. I mean, Ryan James just missed out on Origin, but Jai Arrow, Shannon Boyd, Jared Wallace, they're a strong pack, and against the Sharks as well, who typically are that real grindy side and really good through the middle. It's a big challenge for them.
Yeah, he didn't miss, did he? He didn't miss, Garth. He was very honest, and he said that these blokes have just got to aim up.
That's good, but that's what you want to see from your head coach, because you've got to set that standard. Like, there's a lot of people, a lot of teams, you know, that could be at the bottom of the pack, and I think I've tipped them just because they've got a good sort of 17, 18 players, but then I don't reckon once they get a few injuries, I reckon they're going to be in trouble. But big chance for him to set a standard today.
Okay, and a lot of talk around Paul Gallen equaling ET's record of games. Does a team lift for that?
Oh, look, I think, you know, certain teams, certain players you always lift for, milestones. I mean, Gal is very much loved at this club, and obviously we know he's retiring after about 25 years. Yeah. So I'm sure they'll lift, but I think Gal will set a standard today.
Yeah, you don't want it to be an anti-climax, something like this. This is a day, hopefully, that they celebrate when the whistle goes. Andrew Eddinghausen, you know, Cronulla, great. And, you know, I've always said that nicknames, or thought that nicknames are really important because it's a sign of acceptance, I think. So they went from Andrew Eddinghausen down to E.T., and then we just called him Et.
Yeah.
And that's real acceptance, isn't it? When you get that down to that.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. They did actually have a year here together, E.T. and Gal. That's how long Gal has been here. So, he's 328 games, and he's announced that that'll be the end for him at the end of this year here. But it's been a wonderful career, Gal. I mean, you either love him or hate him. We all work with him, haven't we, Em, over the years, and he's a champion bloke.
Yeah, well, you know what was interesting during the week? Sean Johnson, I was out here for media, and we asked him about Gal equaling the record and what Gal meant to this club. And he said, you know what? He really surprised me when I came here, because he said he's so polarising, and you do sort of, if you're on the outside, you have a negative opinion of him. But he said, I was so pleasantly surprised how selfless he is for the younger boys and what he does for the club. So he said he actually changed his opinion once he came here. Mm.
It's amazing, though, Sterlo, like a bloke like you, and I'm being quite serious here, who had an illustrious career, and then your career kind of had to end because of an injury. For a bloke like this to play, to break a club record, to be here to get them their first premiership, as you were part of as well, and to kind of go out on his own terms, it's like a dream career.
That's magnificent, and, you know, especially the position that he plays and the way he plays the game. You know, we gauge careers based on two things, in my opinion, and that's longevity and consistent excellence. And he gets top marks in both of those. Yeah. Whether you love or hate Paul Gallen, you have to respect on what he's done and the way that he plays the game. Mm. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we've still got a full season to go. Hopefully he will go out, or, as you say, on his own terms, play 20-odd games this year and, you know, maybe take Cronulla to a second premiership success. Who knows? But he competes as well as anybody who plays the game. You are not in this game for as long as he's had, unless you've got plenty going for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, even rugby league, we know it's a tough sport, but even on the side, mate, who just goes, oh, I might just box on the side as well.
Yeah.
I remember when he fought this guy, Herman, someone a few years back. Mate, he hit him square in the head, Gallen fell over, and I just thought, there's no way he's getting up. Sure enough,
yeah.
Gell gets up and wins the fight.
I'd actually love to see him punch you square in the head. I would.
Would you take him on, Del?
Come on, oh,
Del. I don't need to fight him.
Sonny Bill, mate. What about you? You're up next to Sonny.
No, I don't need. I'm 45, mate. I'm more a lover than a fighter these days.
I would pay $5,000 for a front row seat to watch Gell punch you fair in the head.
Yeah, well, mate.
I'd go anywhere to see it. I'd go to Alice Springs. I'd get do anything to see that.
Well, mate, if you don't zip it, you might get a punch in the head right now.
I think $5,000 would be one of the cheaper seats.
Sterlo, M, Wendell, Maroon, yep. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with the kickoff of today's game. It's all thanks to our mates at Macca's who have got on board at 2019. And Ream, Australia's favourite. You know what Wendell says? If the Ream hot water's not there, I'll lick myself clean like a pussycat.
Oh, don't say that.
We'll take a break and come back with more as Triple M rocks
the
footy.
That's a lie.
And round two of the NRL, the traditional Saturday 3 o'clock game, is about to take place here in the beautiful Cronulla Sutherland Shire in Sydney, where it's a beautiful day for rugby league. Right across the Triple M network, we welcome you for this game. Anthony Maroon, Peter Sterling, Wendell Saylor and Emma Lawrence on the bench, and we'll get down and check conditions with them very shortly, Del.
100 games for Chad Townsend today, is it?
Chad Townsend is... No, he's way over 100.
No, but for the Sharks.
Oh, for the Sharkies, yes. Yeah. I beg your pardon. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, Del.
Only because I can see a big banner out in the field. It says 100 and Chad Townsend's head on it.
Yeah, there it is right there.
Yeah.
So just right there near the cheer girls, that's how you notice it, is it, Del?
Not at all.
Anyway, it's a big game for both these clubs this afternoon. As I mentioned earlier, they are, as per the program, thanks to Mongrel Boots, they are Aussie-born and bred. Another big weekend of rugby league on Triple M after this game tomorrow. We are live from noon at ANZ Stadium, followed by that 4 o'clock match of the day, the two old rivals, Parramatta and the Dogs. Peter Sterling, can your Parramatta Eels go two and none?
Well, they can, but I'm very wary of that game. I think it's going to be tougher than the Penrith confrontation last week. It's a weakened Parramatta side with no Michael Jennings, Nathan Brown or Will Smith. And Dean Pay has pretty much issued a challenge to his 17 players who were poor against the Warriors last week, basically saying, well, here's your opportunity to atone for that, to make me pick your game next week. I mean, it's a real danger game, and especially on the back of so much talk about how impressive Parramatta were and how poor the Bulldogs were in their game. You know, I think there's always a bounce back factor, especially early in the season.
Okay, getting back to this game here though, Pete, the Gold Coast Titans, much has been said about them and their future across the show today. They go out in the market and they brought Tyrone Peachy and Shannon Boyd, two class players. Were they the type of players the Titans needed?
I think so, yeah. I like the look of their side. I think they're going to be improvers throughout the course of this season. Certainly far from ideal last week, losing their two halves in the week leading into the game. But they've got Brimson and Jax alongside each other this afternoon. I'm looking forward to them coming up against Townsend and Sean Johnson playing his second game against or for Cronulla. He had an unhappy start last week for the new club. But I think there are some good things coming to the Gold Coast. And as I say, early in the season, you know, it's a matter of building and building and put yourself in a good position. I think we'll see a far better performance from the Titans than we did last week in those terrible conditions against the Raiders.
Okay, it's Ream and Macca's bringing you Saturday afternoon rugby league on the Triple M network.